Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. It will be a brief reading, a familiar reading, familiar incident, familiar passage. And it is a passage where the Lord, with one sentence, puts in perspective the life of a woman who is starting to feel a little bit overwhelmed. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, let's begin reading at verse number 38. Now it came to pass as they went, that is, Christ and his disciples, that they entered into a certain village, and that village being Bethany, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. I would draw your attention tonight to one verse of Scripture, indeed one sentence, and what a sentence it is. Notice in verse number 42, but one thing is needful. One thing. What an ability the Lord has to simplify our otherwise complex existence. But one thing is needful. You know, the sheer demands of keeping up sometimes can be a little overwhelming. And we live life, and I think we've all said, if it's not one thing, it's another. And trying to stay on top of things, we feel like that circus clown keeping all the plates spinning. There seems to be tremendous demand placed upon us, a tremendous distraction from so many angles, and at times the sheer demand would lead us to be overwhelmed. But hear the word of the Lord, but one thing is needful. Now sometimes frustration is the result of falling behind when we try to the best of our ability to keep up on top of things. But when we fall behind in the duties around the home, and when we fall behind in finances, and when we fall behind in time spent, quality time spent with our children and with our wives, again I say frustration is often the result. And then our weeks of hurried activity are passing by, and sometimes we can just get a little bit edgy. Well, that's exactly where Martha was. She had just become a little bit edgy. Here her sister Mary, Martha, and Lazarus living in this small town called Bethany. Imagine, if you can, the excitement when they learned that Jesus was on the way to their village. But again, how privileged they were when the Lord accepted their offer of hospitality. As soon as Jesus came into their humble abode, Martha began, as she was accustomed to do, to put something together quickly for the celebrated guest. And she busily then begins to prepare a suitable spread just as fast as she can. And as a servant and with a servant's heart, loving the Lord with all her heart, she worked earnestly. The problem arose when she noticed her sister not looking to help out the Lord, but sitting there asking perhaps the question what the Lord could do for Mary. Mary was so enamored with the visitor that rather than help her sister, she simply sat at his feet hanging upon his every word. And so Martha, exasperated now by the failure of her sister to help, and all that she has to accomplish, she makes a plea to the Lord, perhaps expecting to find sympathy in him. Rather than sympathy, she is given a gentle rebuke. And the Lord said to her, Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Again, I want you to marvel with me at how the Lord put Martha's life in perspective in one sentence. You're careful, you're troubled about many things, but alas, there's only one thing that ultimately is needful, and you have missed out on that part that your sister Mary has engaged in. And friends, I don't know if we can be reminded too often of this blessed verse. I know I've reminded you many times of it, that we get so overwhelmed betimes by the many demands on life that we fail to see the importance in the middle of a busy existence of putting first things first and giving to the Lord that thing that He describes as being needful. How often do we lose focus? How often do we lose the simplicity of walking and following after God? I trust tonight if you have fallen into that error that the Lord would use this verse again to draw you unto Himself. There is in this one simple, simplifying statement an interjection. Of course, it is that word, but one thing is needful. Now, Martha was very busy and perhaps she was a little quick-tempered, and we get that from how she speaks to the Lord. Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? As she speaks to the Lord, a little shortly it appears, but the Lord replies gently, and yet He does it so instructively. Martha, Martha, as to calm her, you're careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And that word but then draws us back to the statement before, the words before, many things. The interjection but suggests we look back to verse 41 to qualify. What was it the Lord referring to when He spoke of these many things? Well, I think the first thing we can notice here is the many things included, those things that were lawful things. There was nothing wrong with what Martha was doing. None of her actions could have been faulted. After all, she was making provision for the Lord Himself. And she was therefore suitably engaged in the required duties of the home, those things that are becoming of a good mother or a good woman of the home. In fact, when you look at Martha, you'll see that there is some reflection of that godly woman described in Proverbs 31. That woman was described as being tireless and selfless in her labor. And so here Martha then, in tireless, selfless labor, she's working hard to make provision for her own family, but also for any who might drop in. And to that woman, Martha, the Lord says, Martha was cumbered about much serving. That word cumbered is the word distracted. She was distracted by much serving. Martha, Martha, you are troubled and careful then about many lawful things, for what she did was lawful. But alas, the Lord says, one thing is needful. Dear friends, what are we to learn then from this simple reminder of the Lord? I think the warning is obvious that lawful things must not keep you from those things that are needful. Because we all have things that are lawful that have got to be done. We must work. Work is not a sin. In fact, the lack of work is sin. One Bible commentary said it this way. He said, commentator, industry is to be commended, but were you made only to be a machine for digging holes, laying bricks or cutting pieces of wood? Were you created only to stand at a counter or behind a computer? Is God's only purpose for you to play with numbers all day? Has God made man solely for accomplishing lawful tasks? I mean, is that all we do? Is that the only purpose for existence? To wake up every morning, to engage in perpetual employment with a slim chance, especially in today's economy, of securing a comfortable retirement? If our health permits, we could even enjoy it. Is that the only reason we live? So many fill their entire lives with lawful things, and yet the Lord says, even to this one, Martha, but one thing is needful. I wonder, dear friend, has your life become all about your job? Our jobs are lawful things. But the chief end of man is not simply to go to work, although we can glorify God at our work. John had to remind those that heard him that their life's existence was not for the purposes of laboring for that meat which one day would perish, but that they were to labor for that meat which would endure to eternal life. In a number of years, all of our incessant efforts at work will be worth absolutely nothing. And if, alas, we have failed to obtain that one needful thing, what a disappointing life our lives will be reflected upon as being. And so this interjection is positioned to make us think, are lawful things keeping you from the one thing that is needful? But there's something else we might notice here. Not only can we say that lawful things were distracting this woman, but when we see what she was doing, we also remark that it was commendable things. Martha was giving her best to the Master. Now the Lord would have been content with much less, I'm sure, in this case, but can we criticize a woman who is so filled with effort? Can we say that she did too much for the Lord? Her effort is commendable, an admirable thing. And yet to that same woman who was serving the Lord with such effort, the Lord says, Martha, Martha, you're troubled and careful about many things, commendable things. But one thing is needful. Again, let's stop step back and ask the question, what can we learn from this? I wonder, is it possible to be so consumed with commendable things, the looking after of others, that we neglect our own needs? Mother, father, is it so possible to be consumed about the caring of your children that you forgot to cultivate your own heart? Servant in the work of the Lord, has your daily walk with God been for the purposes of leading other men to the Lord and directing them in truth, and yet you forgot to cultivate your own soul? What a great danger is, Song and Solomon brings it to our attention, they made me keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. And so commendable things, even leading our children in Christ and schooling them, that if that's our calling, and doing so many other commendable things, these things must not be the reason why we are distracted from the one thing that the Lord says is needful. And so we look at Martha and we see that lawful things must not distract her, commendable things. What about pleasurable things? I suppose in this case I'm not thinking so much of Martha, but of that one who feels pleasure is the only thing for which they are to live. They're not cumbered with much serving. Rather, they laugh at those who cumber themselves about anything. Solomon spoke about young men, and young men are those who love pleasure. Notice what Solomon said. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes, but know thou, for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. I put a warning out very specially to our young people tonight. Be very careful. There are many joys to be had in youth. It is a time to enjoy and to cherish, but again, listen to this interjection, but one thing is needful. Again, back to the Song of Solomon, therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity, are lacking reality. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Something more is required of you, young person, than that you should live for the purpose of the next good time. The next good time is not the only thing that's to characterize your life. But how often has pleasure become the very thing then that keeps young people away from that thing that is needful? Martha, Martha, you are distracted about many things. I wonder, dear friend, are you distracted by lawful things? Distracted by commendable things? And distracted by pleasurable things? And to that list, I think we might add this one here as well, distracted by unnecessary things. Now, whether this was the case with Martha, we don't know, but there has to be a caution for our day. Because along with the busy schedules of lawful, commendable, and pleasurable things, then we fit and pack our days with those things that make that one needful thing even more difficult to get to. And you know that one needful thing is the hardest thing to get to. And for that reason, then it's almost easier to do every other thing except the thing that God says is the most important. And how easy is it then to dismiss and fill the day with things that really ultimately mean absolutely nothing. And all the while this thing is left unattended. And I think we have to be very careful then that unnecessary things do not crowd out the thing that the Lord here is speaking of. And so here's a short list. Lawful things, commendable things, pleasurable things, unnecessary things. This is a short list of things that may distract us from the one thing that is needful. Dear friend, tonight, perhaps you can add your own distraction to this list. But whatever it is, how simplifying does the Lord bring our life when in the midst of a complex life that demands so much, He draws attention to the simple thing. There's really only ultimately one thing that's important. And so the first thing we notice here is this interjection, but. The second thing we notice is an identification, but one thing is needful. Okay, we can look then at the danger of lawful, commendable, pleasurable, unnecessary things, but what is this thing that the Lord is speaking of? Well, the one thing needful is evidently that which Mary chose, that good part that from her could not be taken away. And clearly that good part was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to His Word.
Now the mere posture of sitting down and listening to the Savior's word was nothing in itself. Because if that is all the good thing is meant, or that is all that is meant by this good thing, then perhaps we could all say, well, I went to church on Sunday and I listened to the word of the Lord and I did my devotions on a regular basis. Is that all we're talking about? No, the mere posture of sitting down and listening to the Savior's word, that's nothing in itself. And friends, I think there's much more implied by her sitting at the feet of the Lord. And for there is, first of all, the implication of time spent. Here Martha is spending her time serving. And yet Mary is spending her time listening. Have we become so busy that we've got no time to listen? We rush through the day, we've got no time to listen to one another. And ultimately, we've got no time to listen to the Lord. Dear friend, the one thing that's needful, that which ought to be a priority in your life, is listening to the voice of God, listening through His Word. Not only does her then sitting at the feet of Christ speak of time invested, but it also speaks of submission. Submission to Christ is needful. She's sitting at His feet. She's taken here the posture of submission. She's laid down any rebellion in her heart and she's come humbly to acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Lord and the King of her soul. And friends, a man cannot know Christ while he continues to resist Christ. There's many people today reading their Bible and seeking to do a moment or two of devotion and yet living in resistance to Him. That one thing that's needful is to submit unto Him. And to recognize that His Word is authoritative, not only in terms of what we believe, but authoritative in terms of what we do. So we come to the Lord and it is in this posture, Lord, not my will, but Your will be done. Not my desire, but Your desire. No man can truly call himself a Christian until he becomes a follower of Christ. And a follower of Christ is one who submits under His ongoing dictates and under His ongoing truth. There's a great danger in our day of a pseudo-Christianity. It's a Christianity where people decide to call Christ Lord to escape the fires of hell, but then they live whatever way they want. Friends, that's not a salvation that is in anywhere referred to in this Bible. A salvation is where a man forsakes all and he follows Christ. And anything less than full surrender cannot be described as the one thing that's needful. Dear friend, have you submitted to the claims of Christ? And better still, do you submit continually? Salvation is not a mere one-off submission. It's a life of submission. And so it speaks here of time and of submission. But then this one thing needful may also be described as faith. Because not only did Mary listen and submit to what Christ said, but she believed in what the Savior said. She sat as one taught of Him. And again, then we're reminded of the absolute necessity of having faith in Christ. Having faith in Christ as that one who is both God and man. Having faith in that one whose death was truly expiatory, whose crucifixion was a sacrifice for sins. And by exercising this one thing needful, we're trusting Him and Him alone. We're relying upon Him completely. And our attitude apart from Christ is, Lord, I'm hopeless and I'm undone without You. This faith is implied as the one thing that's needful. Dear friend, if you come to Christ to give Him your time, to give Him your heart, what about have you come to give Him your trust? Then I think sitting at the feet of Christ speaks of something else, and that is discipleship. For sitting at the feet of any man in Bible times was the posture of the student to the teacher. But what she learned was that she must put into practice what she learns, otherwise she deceives herself. And likewise, dear friend, we cannot be found following after this needful thing until we become learners of the Word of God and in a practical sense follow what we're being taught. Let's not become content then to be hearers of the Word and alas, never doers. James describes that man as being one who has deceived himself. He's hearing, but he's not doing. Let's come then like the hymn writer said, where He leads me, I will follow. The believer's position is always that of a pupil. And the Lord being his teacher, dear friend, have you come to Christ and do you listen to Him in that fashion? But then this posture also speaks of service. Mary was not engaged in service, or so it appears. In the same way Martha was, yet in truth she was ministering in a deeper and in a truer sense. Let me explain. It is a great joy to speak to attentive listeners. Some of you are very attentive tonight. The other ones of you, I'll not make a mention about it. It is a delight to speak to people who are attentive, and no one serves a teacher better than an attentive scholar. And the first duty of the scholar is to be cheerful in accepting and diligent in retaining what is taught. And in that sense, Mary was waiting upon Christ in the highest capacity, for she gave Christ her attention. And she gave her best position for service. I wonder, dear friend, are you so longing to do the will of God that you've stopped listening to the will of God? Oh, may God help you to serve Him by listening. Next Sunday, as we continue our study upon worship, we're going to look at the response of the first part. We looked at the proclamation of the Word as being an element of worship. One of the highest acts of worship is listening to the Word of God. Our response to then that which is proclaimed. May God help us to serve Him by simply listening. And then I think in this there's also an indication that not only was she engaging in discipleship and service, but of course, and perhaps highest, she engaging in love. Let's face it, she would not have been found where she was had she not been captivated in her heart. And so her sister Martha's troubled, careful about many things, and it is almost as if Mary is completely oblivious. Well, she knew that He loved her, and she sure loved Him, and therefore she became a willing learner. Friends, here is the key to all of our efforts for Christ. Why do we do what we do for Him? I've been praying this last week, Lord, save me from doing what I do out of mere duty. But may my testimony be like Paul's, the love of Christ constrains us. And the more we know of Christ, the more we will love Him. The more we know how loving He is toward us, the more our hearts will run out after Him. And if a man will know the mercy and the gentleness and the goodness of Christ toward him, he cannot help but love him. And so there is here then this interjection, but, and then there is an identification of what this good thing is. Dear friends, if something is a necessity in your life, then naturally every other thing must give way. J.C. Ryle said that necessity, it must rule over all else. It is the mother of invention. We must then sit at His feet. It's an absolute necessity, and without it our whole life will ultimately be a failure. We may make money, but we may lose our souls. We may gain honor, but what use is that if we fall short of the glory of God? We may enjoy pleasure, but what will that be if we forfeit the pleasure which are at God's right hand forevermore? We may do our country some service, but let us come and recognize that to do service for God is to serve a higher country. And we shall render no greater service than that which we render unto God Himself. Dear friend, are you like Martha? Has your recent weeks and months, perhaps years, been filled with troubled and carefulness about so many things, distracted, and you're getting frustrated about how complex your life has become? Oh, may you hear the simple interjection of the Lord in the midst of it all, but one thing is needful. And recognizing then sitting, listening, loving the Lord, taking time in His Word. If that's the only thing that's ultimately in the eyes of the Lord necessary, may all those other things, whether they be lawful, commendable, pleasurable, may they all find their right place. And may we be found then as a people putting first things first. You can go into the local bookstore and pick up that very famous book by Stephen Covey, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And there a man who knows not Christ even is able to recognize the importance of putting first things first. Dear friends, here is the priority that God would have us all keep. Coming first, listening to Him, and then putting all other things in their due perspective. May God help us then to recover that simplicity, recover the perspective and the focus that we ought to have, commending ourselves to His care and to His grace, and indeed putting first things first and serving Him that way. Let's bow our heads in prayer.